general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, who are 7-2. Ed Hervey joins us once again. Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing quite well, actually. You know, we're into the second half of the CFL season. CIS is going, college football, NFL. If you're a fan of football, it's a good time, right? I'm a Dolphin fan, so it's not a great time, but it's a good time.
You know? I understand.
Now, Ed, for you, you look at it, where your team was last year to where your team is now. Obviously, just on record-wise, you've improved a lot. When you look at the first half of the season, is this – kind of what you expected from your team, that your defense and special teams would be the driving force and your offense would be a work in progress?
I expected the team to improve. How much they improved, that was going to remain to be seen when they hit the field. As I said, coming out of training camp, that this team would be an improved team. I wasn't certain if it was going to be a Grey Cup contender or not, but I do believe that this team would be someone, a team that fans could come and enjoy watching and see the commitment and hard work that all the coaches, staff, players, everyone has put into this season and hard work that's gone into the offseason, and our fans are having an opportunity to see that.
Ed, from your event, we had Rennie Curran on the show earlier, and he suggested that maybe the first time that, you know, they didn't match the physical intensity of Calgary. When you could talk about being disciplined and everything else like that, and he felt like they just didn't match it. And really, from the defense, I think that was the first time all year. And those type of games happen, being a former player. I mean, you never wanted to, but it's more so how do you ensure it doesn't happen the next time out?
Well, I guess we have to consider that. We have a young football team, and Calgary's been a veteran team. They've been good for quite some time, so they're quite experienced in these games. And our team was hyped up and ready to go. But sometimes when you get in those games, you got to bring more than just hype and energy. You got to bring your game. You got to bring the physical part of the game. As the players have said all week, that they didn't match them physically. But I guess, you know, when you have young players and they get into these games, that's the experience that it takes. I remember my experience in those first early Labor Day games. You get so hyped up, and next thing you know, you're down by 10, 15 points. But you know, after a while, you gain your composure, you gain experience, and you understand that it's just another game, no matter how much the hype surrounds the game. And then you know that you go into it, you put your plays together, you bring your physical part of the game, your mental part of the game, and you just want to give yourself an opportunity at the end of the game to have a chance to win. If you're down by, you want to be down within a possession. If you're up, you want to be up a possession or two. So as far as how do you change it? I think these guys have had a taste of what, the league's best. You know, Calgary's been one of the best teams in this league in quite some time, and our team has had a chance to match up with them and see where they stand. And I think when they get out there this weekend, it'll be another opportunity for them to go toe-to-toe with the Stamps.
GM of the Esks, Ed Hervey, joins us. You acquired Steve Middleton, a guy I know you were looking at it and talked to in free agency. What's the conditional draft pick in that deal, Ed?
I mean, it's too confusing to try to get into right now. I mean, the conditional picks generally are stuff that sometimes teams choose to swap picks based on record,
okay,
or something like that. I mean, it's really the big key in that draft, in that trade for them, I would imagine, is the draft pick in 2016. And the key part for us is getting a quality offensive lineman that allows us more depth on the interior. And we talk about strengthening our offensive line as far as our Canadians are concerned, especially. You know, we want to build our depth there. And I've said this many times, numerous times, you're not going to be able to find those guys sitting at home on the couch waiting on a call like you can American players. So you have to, strategically look across the board, see where you can find a player that fits what you're trying to do, and pitch your best offer and hope that it works out. You know, both teams got value for the pick, and that's what we're trying to do here, is just continue to build this team in the right direction.
Ed, how much do you talk to Chris Jones, your coach, before you make that type of deal? Do you say, hey, this is a guy who I know I can get. Do you want him? And away you go. Is that how it works? And so do I assume then that Middleton's a guy that you feel you guys can slot in right away and start on your own line?
Well, Chris and I talk every day. We talk every day about the personnel on this team. We talk every day about different things. We have conversations. We're not in two separate chambers in this building. We talk all the time. As far as talking about Middleton, we, you know, Chris is very supportive in understanding, knowing that we want to build our depth from the inside out, and we want to build our Canadian depth on the offensive line. As far as where he's slotted in to play, I mean, he has to come in and compete and show that he's able to, fill in and learn what we're doing here. But again, you know, he's a veteran. He has plenty of experience. We're heading into the stretch run of the regular season, and you can never have too much depth, especially in the Canadian offensive front.
What do you like about Middleton's game? I know you were looking at him in free agency. What is it that you think he's going to add to improve the talent level of your offensive line?
Again, he's a physical player. He run blocks well. He has pass block, really well. He also can play center. He's multiple. He can play left guard, right guard, and center. So, again, versatility in those areas, especially when you're talking about, if you have you sustain an injury, we know he's a guy that can go in and play. Has been around the playoffs, has been around teams that have made it deep into the playoffs. Just his overall experience helps us in that department. And again, it strengthens our roster and our offensive line.
At a position you know very well because you played it, the receiver position. Right now, Adarius Bowman leading the league. He's on pace for almost 1,500 yards. He's having a very good season. Without Fred Stamps, you haven't had a consistent second or third option. You've got some young guys now who, are kind of into year three and four in Shamaad Chambers and Kuhorn. What are you seeing from your receiving core overall, Ed, or maybe what more do you want to see collectively from the group?
I think the group is working hard. They're coached really well. I mean, Kez McCorvey has done a fantastic job with the group as a whole. And you mentioned it earlier, when you're young at that position, again, the objective is to get better. The objective is to go out there and improve your game. And when your plays are called upon, you make your plays. I think when you look at Adarius is one of the more experienced guys of that group. And I think the guys have done a pretty good job filling in and playing their role in the absence of Fred Stamps. Fred Stamps, his resume speaks for itself. But again, I think the guys have done everything in their power to, to pull the offense along and do what they needed to do. And again, this team collectively has gotten to 7-2, and generally, when you have great defensive teams and the special teams do well, someone's going to always end up being third. You're either going to be a great offensive team and an average defensive team and subpar special teams, or if you're great at all three, which I haven't seen too often in this league, that's fantastic. But offensively, this team is they're doing well. And again, new offense, new system, young players. I think they're right on course to where they need to be. And I expect more improvement down the road.
Were you expecting your offense to maybe be more of a slow process compared to your defense?
No, I think when you go out there, we expect everyone to go out there and do their part. As far as slow, I don't know if it's slow or not. I think when we look at our offense, I mean they grind out and get things done. I mean we've had opportunity to be a running team at times. We have opportunities to throw the ball down the field. We found ways to win games and earlier this year by doing various things. But I believe that the offense will improve, and I have full belief in that. And the defense for a while was so dominant at times it can make your offense look like it's struggling. But when we look at where we are in the standings and stuff, statistically, our offense is doing a pretty good job staying within the pack and moving the ball when needed.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Ed, Fred Stamps and John White, arguably your number one receiver, and although Bowman's been great, and your number one running back. What's the status? Can fans expect either one of those guys this weekend?
We don't discuss when guys are going to play. We'll keep that under our hat. And when the time comes, we'll put our best 44 players out in the field, and we'll see what we look like. But I would imagine that in due time, we'll see all those familiar names back on the field here within the next few weeks.
in the evaluation process, when you're, you know, you don't have your starting quarterback, you don't have your number one running back, and definitely one of your top two receivers, do you take that into account, Ed, or do you look and say, hey, when we don't have our top guys, we're expecting our depth guys to elevate their play?
Well, yeah, whoever lines up on the field, we always go out there with the expectation to win. You know, we leave all the excuses and the, you know, the explanations to, you know, those on the outside. We believe in the players that are here. We believe our guys go out there and work hard. Of course, would everyone want to have the team that they, you know, the original starters? But this is football. I mean, guys get nicked up. They get banged up. Guys get hurt. Some are out for the year. And you just, you know, you put your depth players out there and they continue to work. And you go out there with the expectation to win. You know, we do that. We expect to win. You know, we fell short on Monday. We get to roll it up, roll the sleeves up, put it back on the field, and go at it again. And, you know, we look forward to the challenge that's ahead of us. But I'm very proud of our players, very proud of everything that we're doing here. And as I said at the start, we're building something here. And, you know, we didn't expect to all of a sudden flip the switch and be, you know, drinking champagne out of the Grey Cup. We just want to be a very competitive football team, give our fans something to cheer about and build for something long term. And when I look at everything that we're doing, you know, I believe in what we're doing. We're heading in the right direction. And, you know, if you get beat, if you, you know, you're 7-2 and they said that you're 2 losses against the best team in the league, I think most people around here will accept that some success, but we have a ways to go. And, you know, we will continue to fight and continue to battle till we get to the destination that we want to as an organization, as a football club.
When you look at your overall depth, Ed, we're entering the second half of the season, and now you add a lot of guys, not so much for this year, because it's hard to pick up offense and defense, but a lot of them are, you know, NFL cuts and other guys you're bringing in likely for next season. Is the one area on your team that you're still looking to find is kind of that game-breaker kick returner?
I mean, we're always looking for players at all positions. I mean, again, we talk about wanting the game breaker at kick returner, then you end up getting a guy and then he gets banged up. I mean, would we love to have a guy that explosive like some of the other teams? Yeah, well, I guess we would. But we're working at that, but we still have a ways to go in a lot of areas of building our depth. So we're happy to be able to compete, put the 44 guys out there. We're happy that our players are buying into what's going on here. And as far as trying to point out where something is or isn't, you know, we don't get into that. You know, the scouts are out there working and looking for those guys. And when we get into the off-season evaluations, you know, we'll handle those. But as it sits right now, we feel very good about this roster, but we have a ways to go as far as, you know, achieving ultimate goals.
And, the Calgary-Edmonton rivalry, of course, is big. We might have 50,000 fans for the first time in a decade on Saturday. And I know you were a big proponent of moving the game one day later. It's better for the players. It's better for coaches. It's better for fans because I think likely you get a better game because the guys are more rested. You've had now a half a season to see the video review on pass interference. What's your thoughts on that specific? Because to me, well, I guess I'll get your thoughts first, and I'll tell you mine. What do you think about the DPI and the pass interference so far in video review?
I didn't like it in the beginning, and I don't really care for it now. That's why I sit on it. And I think some people believe that it's good. I think we talked about it being a delay in games and stuff, but I mean, hey, I'm not going to get too wrapped up in it because. Hey, it's here. It's a rule now, so I'll be beating a dead horse if I talk about it too much longer.
Okay. Well, I guess my question was, I've watched it, and it seems that you pretty much have to, crush the guy to get it overturned, right? So when guys are challenging it, most of them aren't getting overturned, even though it looks like a lot of them are pass interference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too, into detail on this particular subject because, I know that, something that was pushed in the league is very proud of. So I'm just going to leave it alone because, I express my feelings on it, and I just think that, we should have did a little bit more research before we actually put it into play.
Okay. Is there any other rule changes that you'll bring up in the off season?
Not anything that I would discuss right now. We're going to make sure we get all the data before we pull anything out. But I think that the officials do a great job at their jobs, and I think the rules committee does a good job, competition committee. But right now, I'm just focused on the Edmonton Eskimos and our football team and things that we're doing.
And one last one, Ed. They happen to be local guys, and I don't know if that matters or not, but and they're part of your kicking team, King the snapper and Grant Shaw the kicker right now, who right now is having an unreal year. His punting average is outstanding. His directional kicking has improved. But his field goal kicking is almost at 90% this year. Just talk about those two specific and, what do you feel they're adding to your team right now?
Well, I mean, again, Shaw is a player that we've always believed in, and I think that he's solid. Him and Ryan are good friends, and they work well together. And you throw Matt Nichols in the mix as far as the holder. Those guys work really well together. And as far as the accuracy of kicks and stuff, I think with Grant, I think Craig Dickinson has been an extreme help for his overall growth. As a kicker and maturity, on and off the field as far as the play is concerned, and learning to let go of a missed kick. Don't hold on to it too long. I mean, that's one of the things as a pro athlete that people have to understand is when a guy goes out there, drops a ball, misses a kick, throws an interception, gets beat for a touchdown, no one feels worse than that athlete. No one does. And sometimes the athlete spends a bit more time beating themselves up over it. And I don't think that the players, sometimes these players, these young players, some of them, they read the stuff that's said about them and they hear the stuff that's said about them. And some of the things are just harsh, and those players hold on to it. So, a lot of these players nowadays have learned to just ignore what's written about them and what's said about them, and they just kind of focus on what's within the locker room. In the locker room sticking together. And I think Grant has learned and adapted to that, and it's allowed him to up his game, just not getting caught up in everything, just worrying about himself and his, what his players and coaches feel about him. And there's so much love for those players in there for one another. It's refreshing to see that they all have one another's back. And the fact that, when they walk into the locker room, it's just them. I think that has done a lot for their psyche this season.
Ed, continued success in the second half. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks.